In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So was it that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now then, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, as it was told to them.
A favourite Christian tradition in my household has become our annual viewing of the film Love Actually. It will probably happen this year on Christmas Eve when both my daughters and my son-in-law are with us. Now, I'm about to reveal a plot spoiler, but if you haven't watched it yet, tough. I assume you're not going to, as it's now 20 years since it came out. In one hilarious scene, and there are many hilarious scenes, but in one of them, a mum who happens to be the sister of the Prime Minister is talking with her daughter. We've been given our parts in the nativity play, says the daughter. And I'm the lobster. The lobster, says her incredulous mum. Yes. In the nativity play, yes. First lobster. There was more than one lobster present at the birth of Jesus. At which the girl looks at her mum with scorn and says, duh. Well, if the role of first lobster has not been a traditional part of the nativity play, I suspect that it might be by now. We're more used to shepherds and their sheep, wise men and their camels, and of course Joseph and a heavily pregnant Mary going to Bethlehem for the Roman census. We're familiar with them knocking on doors, trying to find somewhere to stay, only to be told, no room. In one school nativity play, a young boy was playing the part of a householder at whose door Joseph and Mary knocked. And he had one job, to open the door and utter the words, no room. An equally young Joseph knocked on the door and asked, can we stay? And the other boy was faultless. No room, he said, and made to shut the door. But at this point, Joseph started to improvise. Please, can we stay? Again, the boy said, no room. But Joseph persisted. We're desperate. Please, 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 can we stay with you? At which point, the other boy's lips started to tremble. What was he going to do? He was about to burst into tears when he remembered what his mum would say if anyone called at the door and blurted out, oh, come on in and have a nice cup of tea. And in a way, that boy got it right. He'd meant to say, no room. What he did say, in effect, is there is room. There is room. And that's the short message I want to bring to you today, that there is room. There is room for hope. New babies tend to bring that. New beginnings, new life, new hope. But what about when life seems hopeless? For the people of war-torn countries such as Ukraine, where is hope? Newborn babies die in conflict and we wonder, where is hope? But we hold on to hope just as did the Old Testament prophet Isaiah many years ago. He spoke of a time when every instrument of warfare and every battle uniform would be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, said that prophet. And 800 years or so later, a child was born to be saviour to the world. And Jesus is still that saviour to those that seek him. We long for an end to war and a lasting peace. And in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, there is room for hope. There is room too for difference. As Bono sang, and that's Bono the lead singer of U2, not Bono the Moroccan goalkeeper, one life, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other. There are 8 billion people on planet Earth. Of course we're not going to be the same. I'm inspired by the music of U2. You may prefer Pavarotti, who incidentally did sing with Bono on the song Miss Sarajevo, so we can both have room to be pleased. Now, you may be brilliant at art, while I'm okay, I think, with words. We are differently able, we are differently gifted, we are differently wired as the people we are. God made us in all our diversity in his image, and God loves us. That's the message that the Bible brings to us, that Christmas tells us. And yes, we often mess up in our lives, but God has sent Jesus into the world to show us his love, and he invites us to love him back. There's a great vision at the end of the Bible, which I love, of a huge multitude of people from every tribe and nation and people and language worshipping before the throne of God. And I think I love that vision most of all because it shows that there is room for difference in God's kingdom. And there is room, too, for your story. Now, I don't know the story of your life. Like all of us, you will have had your ups and downs. You may have had times of great success and extreme failure. You could be a pillar of society or a pariah in your community. You may be full of faith or racked with doubts. Whoever you are, let me say that no one is too good not to need God, nor too bad to be welcomed by God. There is room for your story. And Christmas, this Christmas, every Christmas, is a reminder of the time when 2,000 years ago, God entered our story so that we can become a part of his story. It's the story of love come down at Christmas in Jesus, God's Son. There is room. There is room in this church for you. And if you'd like to know more about how your story can be part of God's story, we'd love to share more with you as we meet Sunday by Sunday, although normally at 10:30 in the morning, not 5 in the afternoon. We are far from perfect, and you'd be welcome to join us as we try imperfectly to follow the perfect and loving God. There is room in this church. There is room in God's kingdom for you. Is there room in your life for God? Because in God's life, there is room for you.